welcome to the Dinosaur Man sidecast with me, Alex Hudson. This is the penultimate sidecast of what has successfully become known as Shocktober and will be returning next year as the same title. Despite the complaints against the title, we have kept it. It is Shocktober. We have won here at Dinosaur Man HQ. And so this should be coming to you on the final Thursday of October. However, there will be a special sidecast coming to you on Halloween itself on the 31st. So I wanted to end strong. I wanted to end on a couple of films that really sort of sum up the genre for me and act as really good examples of the horror genre and how it's progressed through time. One of the films is from the late 1970s, and the film I'm reviewing today is the most recent one that I will have reviewed. It got a UK release over here in 2015. It is A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Now, this is a hard film to classify. It's a horror film that has elements of a romance, but also plays like a western. It's an odd combination at first glance, but it really works very well here. Now, this was Anna Lily Amirpour's directorial debut, and I can't think of a more important horror film that's come out in recent years. Now, the main talking points of this... Yes, Andy and Mark and Andy, it is black and white. However, not only is it black and white, but it is also a Persian language film. So, double the amount of sort of pretentious remarks you can now make towards me regarding this film, but it's a vitally important film. In terms of vampire films, it's up there with the best of them. The style is very deliberate. It doesn't feel like it's just sort of, oh, well, we'll do it in black and white because, you know, then we stand out from the herd. That may be the sort of mindset of some filmmakers, but in this instance, it feels like a very deliberate choice to go down the route of filming it in black and white, having it as a Persian language film. Filmed in the USA, but in Farsi. Now, interestingly, when she was writing the script for the film, Anna Lily Amirpour was saying that she was having to basically write it in English, but then work out how she was going to put it into Farsi. So she was having to sort of write two scripts, and then whenever she was doing a rewrite, she would have to rewrite two scripts. That is a lot of work to go into. You know, that clearly states that this is not just a sort of stylistic decision. This is very much a deliberate choice to put it in Farsi and to make a statement about modern culture and particularly the relevancy of this in terms of the East and West. In terms of the way Eastern and Western cultures view women. Now, I'll give you a brief overview of the plot. I don't want to give too much away because it is a vitally important film that you need to go and see. So I don't want to sort of give you every element of the plot now. But to give you an overview, it sort of focuses around this vampire who goes around the city and preys on men who mistreat or disrespect women. And it sort of follows her around the city and all the people she meets through that role. So you get to see drug dealers and pimps, and you get to see a sort of cross-section of the world that she's living in and why the people that she preys on are preyed upon. Now, I'm not gonna go into sort of a breakdown of, and this is what happens at the end. Go and see this film. I cannot I cannot tell you how important it is for you to go and see this film. If you want to see a film that transcends being a horror film, it transcends that. It goes into being a story more about us, about humanity, about the way in which women are treated and the ways that we can turn into monsters as a society, as individuals. It's a film that emphasises atmospheric tension. It's something that seems to be missing from a lot of horror films these days. You don't get the tension, you don't get that sort of build-up of suspense or any kind of feeling of dread or whatever. But this film does it beautifully. It looks at emotions, human emotions, and what it is to feel those emotions, and it's just incredible. I don't know how much justice I'm able to do it, but I think it's remarkable within an industry that's so sort of dominated by white males who have had relatively privileged backgrounds, that this film has been able to be made and has shone through. You can tell that everyone involved in this production believes in what it's trying to do, because it's not just trying to be a film. It's trying to give you an overview of culture and the changing ways of the East and the Western cultures. So what you need to do is go into this film with a very open mind. Don't close yourself off and go, oh, I'm going to be reading all the time. That doesn't play into it. Yes, you're going to be reading, but the film is worth it. A thousand times over. This is my choice so far for the best film of 2015. I mean, hands down. And the reason is it spoke to me on a deeper level than any film that I've seen in recent years. I always talk about The Babadook as being the best example of a horror film from last year. And I still think that it is. Now, What A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night does is it's tapped into me on a level that The Babadook wasn't necessarily aiming to do. Now, The Babadook spoke to me on a psychological level. It tells about sort of human emotions and how grief manifests itself and the psychology of coming to terms with things like that. And it does it brilliantly. This takes on different issues. And for my money, is on a par with The Babadook in terms of how well it does it. The style is very, in the same way that The Babadook style was very deliberate, it was very much practical effects. It was all focused on the characters that you saw in front of you. This film does the same thing. This film tells the story. It makes you believe in these characters, which for a vampire film is very strange, because you're not used to believing in Edward Cullen or another famous new vampire that kids like. But what it does, it allows you to believe in these characters and believe in their stories, and you buy into them. You're emotionally invested into this world that they've created. And I think credit has to go to not only the director on that, but in, you know, the producers putting their faith in this. Elijah Wood was one of the producers on this film. There's a man who clearly knows the significance of what this film can do. So I think it's a great example of a moment where we're able to see a film that manages to be a horror film. It manages to be a romance film. It manages to have the feel of a Western. It manages to tell stories about bigger issues, about the key issues of the day. But it's entertaining to watch. It's engaging to watch. It's intelligent. It is challenging you on an intellectual level. It wants you to come away thinking. You know, as much as there's a place for Michael Bay's bullshit, you know, for his audience, that's fine. But there is an audience out there for films like this, and I cannot sell you enough on how important it is to have this film. please, please, please go and see it. Seek it out online, buy a copy of it on DVD. It is worth it. It is absolutely the most important film of the year. Now, that's all for this episode of the Dinosaur Man Sidecast. I've been editing the old episodes, and I have not said it correctly for about 4 episodes now. It is the Sidecast, not the Nerdcast. The Nerdcast is the one with the other guys that I will occasionally pop up on. Now, this is the Dinosaur Man Sidecast. I'm Alex Hudson, and I will see you next time for the final installment of this year's Shocktober.